Friday night will be the beginning of the 2008 Summer Olympics, taking place in Beijing, China. And my friend Christine Brennan is there right now. She's covering the Olympics, her 13th consecutive Olympic Games for USA Today. And she's online at her blog at christinebrennan.com. Hi, Christine. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's a little bit after midnight in Beijing, isn't it?
That's correct. It's dark. I would love to tell you that it's smoggy or that it's clear or whatever, but it's dark. So it's a little hard to tell right now, but weather was much better today being Tuesday, which is over, of course, over here.
And yep.
You guys are just beginning it over there.
Tell me, since you mentioned the smog and the conditions there, there was a lot of concern about pollution and its effect on the athletes. You've been there for a few days now. How has it been to be outside and walking around?
Paul, you know, it's very different depending on the day. And that's kind of, I might be strange for your listeners. It was like, well, why, you know, what's going on? Well, I would say that today, meaning Tuesday, just completed Tuesday, was a pretty good day. I was outside for quite a bit. It was hot. It's extremely hot, 90, 92 degrees, whatever. But the heat is the oppressive thing, not the air today. During the day, it was really okay. I was outside for about an hour, walking throughout the whole that time, and it was really fine. Now, the night before, Monday night, I went out for dinner, and as I stood there actually waiting for a taxi cab, it was grimy and gritty, and I could feel it in my throat. I could feel my eyes stinging a little bit, my ears even stinging, my nose. Everything about it for a 5-10 minute period was incredibly unpleasant, and that was Monday night. When you hear people talk about how bad it is here, that's what they're describing. And I could not imagine, much less standing waiting for a cab, I couldn't imagine trying to run or bicycle or do something, in the Olympic Games in that kind of pea soup kind of air that we had Monday night.
That's going to have to be horrible for these track and field participants and all the other athletes who are doing any outdoor activity. I understand that the USOC had specially engineered masks handed out to the 600 members of the U.S. team. Have you seen any of those?
I have not seen them, Paul, but I have. I'm aware of that. The masks themselves were not handed out as much as available to the athletes. So the U.S. Olympic Committee, in fact, I just had dinner tonight with their chief spokesman, and it's a bit different. The masks are available. The U.S. Olympic Committee is not handing them out, but if an athlete wants one, they can have one. Interestingly enough, today coming into the Beijing airport, I believe it was 4 athletes. You may know more from the wires now, but 4 cyclists coming in actually wore masks through the airport. So they get off the plane and they're wearing masks. I don't know if they wore them on the plane or not. But 4 American athletes wearing masks through the Beijing airport. The visual there, of course, is the important thing. Whether they were playing a joke, whether they really thought that the air in the airport was a problem, let me tell you, that's not the problem. It's indoors. The problem is outside. Whatever it might be, there you have an example, I think, of the issue for the Chinese government and for the International Olympic Committee that gave the games to China in 2001, which is to say, you now have these pictures of athletes walking through an airport with these surgical masks, you know, the protective masks over their mouth and nose. And those are kind of the images that the Chinese and the International Olympic Committee are going to have to deal with, whether they like it or not. It's just, I think, one of the residuals from holding the Olympics in a place like China where the air is so bad.
It would sound a real message if they wore them during the opening ceremonies on Friday.
That's correct. And I think that's one of the fears. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine what that would look like? Here comes the U.S. flag, or any flag, you know, Canada, France, you name it. And here come some athletes behind, and 1 or 2 or 3 sprinkled in have masks on. Having said that, if the air were like it was Monday night, when I was standing out there waiting for a taxi, it was awful. It was terrible. And if I'm an athlete and this is my chance to win an Olympic medal, and I'm going through the opening ceremonies where I'll be on my feet for 7 or 8 hours and I have to be outside in that air the whole time, you know, I'm going to wear a mask and I don't care who's going to be offended by it. And I think that's the issue. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens Friday night.
You mentioned that you were at dinner tonight with a USOC official. How's the food?
Food here is fine. Now, I'm in the main press center, And my hotel, actually, Paul, is in the press center. This is the best. I have to say this. I know there's been so much negative about China in the media, and rightly so. This is, as you said, my 13th consecutive Olympics, and it is the best in terms of the conditions, the brand-new nature of the hotel they have us in. And I literally take the elevator from the 9th floor down to the 1st floor, and that puts me right into, I am in the main press center. So never have I had such great working, sleeping conditions. And that's neat, because when you're working, you could be working, 16, 18-hour days. It's nice just to be able to kind of fall out of bed and get in an elevator versus waiting for like a 20 or 30-minute shuttle bus ride or maybe a 20 or 30-minute walk as I've had in Torino or Sydney or Barcelona or whatever. So that's a really good thing. And I think that's, to me, one of the fascinating parts about this whole story of China hosting the Games, which is that the organizational level, the actual planning, what they've done is phenomenal. I think they may well put on the best organized Olympics I've ever seen. But it's been obscured, at least in some ways, by the efforts and the leadership of the government, whether it's censoring the Internet, whether it's the way they treat dissidents, the Darfur situation, on and on. Your listeners know many of those stories, Paul. And that's in addition to that being sad, how they have treated people, human rights issues, if you will, the fact that the Olympics are going to go off probably without a hitch, at least on the organizational level, what they can control. And most people won't even pay attention because we're listening and hearing all these other stories about how bad the Chinese government is.
Talking with Christine Brennan from USA Today, live from Beijing, here on News Talk 710 Cairo. You mentioned Internet restrictions. Are there any on you and the other members of the American media?
Not that I know of. I guess I asked people, actually, this dinner just a few hours ago, I was with two of my colleagues and, as I said, the spokesman for the top spokesman for the U.S. Olympic Committee, and I said, is the Internet still being blocked? And I know that might sound strange, do we know? But I don't know, and my colleagues did not know. So we think it is, but we're not sure what it is that's being blocked. And what I need to do is go and do a search of Tibet, Free Tibet.
Or just Google Tiananmen Square and see if it comes up, because most Chinese have never heard about the massacre.
That's a great point. I'll do that when we get off the phone, and I'll see what's there. But I do know this. In terms of what I've been doing, what I need to find, Google searches, I've had no trouble. I'm not saying there isn't trouble, but I've had no trouble. And in terms of talking about things, obviously I just talked about how bad the Chinese government is as I'm sitting in China talking to you live on the phone, and clearly I'm still talking to you, and they just bleep me out. So
you don't hear boots coming down the hall, do you, Christine?
Not yet, Paul, but if I do, I'll let you know. I think that's the thing that is actually fantastic. It's the old be careful what you wish for. China wanted the Olympic Games. Well, here comes the spotlight. And I would never be able to talk about these issues, nor would any other journalist or even have a reason to talk about them if it weren't for the fact the Olympics are here. So I'm not sugarcoating the issues. They're big and huge, and I support most of them, I'm sure, certainly the free speech one. But the reality is, at least when we are now shining a light on China as never before, and the Chinese government has to deal with that.
Let's talk about the actual games that you're there to cover. And you've been writing on your blog and in USA Today a lot about the U.S. swimming team, which is having its problems. And you've been writing a lot about the fallout of Jessica Hardy being removed for a drug violation. Where do things stand now for the U.S. swimming team?
Well, I think it's a great question, Paul, because the U.S. swimming team, I think, will be making huge news here. I think it will be the most covered and most watched of all the teams and all the sports for the United States. The swimming team, of course, includes Michael Phelps, who's going to be going for 8 gold medals. If he succeeds at that, he will pass Mark Spitz, who had 7 gold medals back in 1972. We'll know, for your listeners, we'll know really the second night, it'll be the morning here, but second night of competition, whether Phelps is going to have a real shot at it, because that'll be the 4x100-meter freestyle relay. He's a part of that. The U.S. has to win that, of course. He has to go 8 for 8. By the way, it's no shame if he only gets 7 or 6. He had 6 gold medals, Michael Phelps did, in Athens in 2004. But he's trying to go, run the table and go 8 for 8. And that relay, the 4x100 relay, freestyle relay, the French are very good in that and could upset the United States. So that's a key thing for people to watch right off the bat as far as health. And then really the story that crosses right over and goes right into, well, the cover of Time magazine and grandmothers and moms doing Pilates with their little kids in tow. And that is Gara Torres, 41 years old, two-year-old daughter. I covered her at the 1984 Olympics, Paul, when she was 17 years old.
Wow.
And now she's 41. Summer Olympics I've been to, she's been to, except she missed two of them. She was retired twice. And that's a great story. So you do refer to the drug issue with Jessica Hardy and the fact that they, USA Swimming, through procedural matters and lack of leadership, frankly, blew it. And they're leaving the three people who should be replacing her, now that she's been kicked off the team, Jessica Hardy, for the positive drug test. Three people who should be there to replace her are sitting at home because of a very faulty system of replacement that will have to be changed, and not having the right alternates and basically just having a program that is very unfortunate and lacked anticipation of this kind of thing, of a positive drug test. So those athletes did not make it, and I know the USOC is not happy, and of course it's an athlete's rights issue, really. But that's where U.S. Swimming made a big mistake. But where they will shine is in these performances, not only from Dara Torres and Michael Phelps, Natalie Coughlin from Cal, a Pac-10 swimmer, and, of course, many others. The United States swim team is incredibly strong.
You know, Christine, whenever I can, whenever I'm watching any kind of event, whether it's reality TV or an actual sporting event, I always root for whoever is fat or bald or middle-aged, because that's me. And so Dara Torres at 41, I think, qualifies as middle-aged, at least by my measuring stick. And so I'm rooting for her big time. She doesn't fit the fat or the bald, but at 41 years old, go Dara.
Oh, absolutely. I think you and everybody else, and that's why it's such an amazing story. I mean, just to consider, you know, she was the oldest person on the Olympic team in 8 years ago in Sydney at 32. She won 5 medals at those Olympics. She was the most decorated American athlete of any of the sports at the Sydney Olympics. Then she retired, and she had previously retired for 7 years. She retired for 6 years. She had a baby during that time. In trying to get back into shape, in fact, actually with morning sickness while she was pregnant, she said she'd go back into the pool. And she started swimming, and then once she had her daughter, she swam a little faster and got in more involved in some swim programs, and she told a great story of going to Fort Lauderdale and where she lives and, you know, saying, hey, could I swim with this group? And the woman kind of nastily looked at her and said, well, you're a pretty fast swimmer. And Dara said, well, I've done some things. And the woman gave her a clipboard and a little form and said, well, fill it out. And then Dara Torres sat there and wrote down 9 Olympic medals, Sydney Olympics gold, Los Angeles gold, you know, Seoul relays, silver or bronze, whatever. Can you imagine what happened when she handed back the clipboard to the woman and said, you think it'd be okay if I swam with your little group? You know? So needless to say, and Dara, I've known Dara, as I said, for a long time. She's great. I think it's fantastic what she's doing. She's also got stretching people that, Paul, if you and I have people that walk on our back every day and pull and prod and stretch and pull, and she's spending over $100,000 a year just on those people to keep her in shape for recovery between races. So there's a lot going on for Dara Torres to be able to compete with and beat the 19, the 20, the 21-year-olds, of course, women half her age. And it remains to be seen if she's going to win a medal individually in the 50. She's ranked 5th in the world right now in that. So she's going to have to get a little faster to win a bronze. But she'll be on 2 relays for the U.S., and I think the U.S. will win medals in those relays. So I think it's pretty safe to say Dara Torres is going to, 41 years old, will win at least 1 medal, maybe 2, maybe if she's lucky, 3 medals at this Olympics. And that's an extraordinary thing to be able to say about someone of her age and, of course, what she's gone through, including having a baby.
What a great story. You can read more of Christine's great stories on her blog at her website, which is christinebrennan.com. And if you've never seen her book, Best Seat in the House, it's a terrific read as well. And I appreciate you staying up late to do this live this morning here on News Talk 710 Cairo. Thanks so much, Christine.
Oh, Paul, my pleasure. Always great to talk to you. Take care.
Thanks. Likewise. Christine Brennan from USA Today. Paul Harris filling in for Dave Ross on News Talk 710 Cairo. We're back after this.